This week's gospel is a continuation from last week's gospel. If you remember, last week we heard how Jesus was sending his disciples on their first missionary journey to the surrounding towns and villages, and he sent them two by two to expel demons from those who were possessed and to heal people by anointing them with oil. And so in today's gospel, we hear how the disciples get back from that first missionary voyage. And the first thing that Jesus says to them when they get back is this: come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. So he's going to go with his disciples so that they can be alone. And it's really important that we hear Jesus and see Jesus doing this, because this is what he calls each one of us to do in our life, to go to spend time with him alone in a life of prayer. So we can ask ourselves and do a little examination of conscience. Do we take time each day to go away and to be with the Lord, to spend time with him each day? There some good friends of mine I've always felt like are really good parents, and they have grown children now, but one day I just felt inspired to ask the dad of the family what his secret was for being a good parent. And he gave a one-word answer. He said, "It's time." And he said, I never worried about spending quality time with my kids. I just worried about spending time with them. And he said that's how he became close to his kids, as he spent time with them. And that's true in any relationship that we're in. If we want to be close to another person, we just have to spend time with them. There's nothing complicated about it. It's just time. And if we want to become close to the Lord, we have to spend time with him. One of the ways that we do that, of course, is by coming to Mass on Sunday. So it's really good that we're all here. It's a wonderful thing to be here. And it's the minimum required of us in our faith, that we come to Mass on Sunday to come to be with Jesus, who's really here. That's why we call this our Sunday obligation, because we're obligated to be here. But what the Lord wants from us, and the kind of relationship that the Lord wants to have with us, isn't limited to just the bare minimum. And married couples, you get this, because you would never say to your spouse, "Honey, I'm satisfied with the bare minimum from you." No, nobody would say that, because actually when we're in love with someone, we want all of them. We're not satisfied by the bare minimum. We want everything. And if this is true of our close relationships, if this is true of your marriage, then certainly this is true of our relationship with God. It's that he's not satisfied with just a bare minimum from us, 1 hour a week. He wants more than that. So he wants us to have a life of prayer, a daily life of prayer. I asked once somebody, I just asked them about their prayer life, and they looked at me kind of surprised and said, "Well, Father, I always pray before meals," which is a really good thing, but that's not enough. It's not enough that our prayer life is just 30 seconds before we take a bite of scrambled eggs. Jesus wants our time. And I think 15 minutes a day is probably the minimum that we should be trying to give him. Maybe we have freedom in our life to give him more than that, and if so, that's wonderful. But we need time with him each day, with him who is our most important relationship. One of the things I think is interesting about this gospel passage is the when that Jesus brings his disciples to be with him to pray. When Jesus goes off and prays by himself in the gospel, it's always right before he does something. So before he calls the 12 disciples, he spends the night by himself and prays. Most famously, before he goes to the cross, or before he allows himself to be betrayed and arrested, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. So this is Jesus's mode of prayer, is praying before something very important is going to happen. That's good for us to see and imitate. But here, Jesus is inviting his disciples to spend time with him in prayer after something important has happened. It's after they've been away on this missionary journey. And this is their first time. We can imagine the inexperienced disciples for the first time going out and telling people about Jesus and healing people and exorcising demons. And they probably didn't feel that prepared to do this. I can relate to that I still feel unprepared for many of the things that priesthood sends me. I certainly felt this in my early years. And so we can imagine that as these disciples go out to the neighboring towns and villages, they would have experienced both success in their mission as well as failures in their mission. And that's normal in each of our life. Some successes, some failures. But then what does Jesus want them to do when they get back? He wants them to go away with him. Why? So that they can reflect on everything that's happened together. And this is actually what happens in healthy marriages. Most of the time the spouses are away during the day. And then at the end of the day, they come back. We could say they're away on their mission in life, which has a lot to do with their work. So they're on mission during the day, they come back, and what do they talk about? Well, the things that went well and the things that didn't go so well. And the more open a couple is in sharing with each other the good, the joys, the hurts, the heartaches, the humiliation, the good, the bad, the ugly, the closer they're going to become. And this is true for our relationship with God as well. The more willing we are to be open with God about what's going on in our life, what happened in our day to day, the good, the bad, the ugly, the more close we're going to be with him too. So Jesus is showing us how we grow in close relationship with him. It's this deep sharing of the heart that he's inviting us to, especially after we've had different experiences in our life that are positive or negative, but to be able to come back to be with him. That's why it's really helpful in our own life. A lot of people spend time in prayer in the mornings, which is so good. That's when I have to do it. Otherwise, I lose track of time and I don't spend that time that I need to. So I have to spend time right away in the morning, get up as early as I can. But it's also so important that we try to touch base with the Lord in the evening in some way, right before we go to bed, so that we can just have that sharing at the end of the day. I guess the last thing I want to point out is the interesting detail, or the interesting way that Mark writes this. He says that the disciples get back. Jesus says, come away by yourselves and rest with me. And then the gospel writer tells us how busy they are. He says, people were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So it seems like there would be every reason for them, Jesus and the disciples, not to take this time. Because there's a lot to do. A lot of people who are in need of healing, teaching, spiritual help. As a priest, I definitely get this. There's a lot of work to be done. But Jesus nonetheless says, come away and be with me. This is something I was grateful for to Bishop Lavore, who always said, he in his assignment letter to priests when they change assignments, he always wrote that he wants them to take a day off, and he wants them to take time each day for prayer and for some leisure, and that he wants them to make a yearly retreat. I did this myself just a couple weeks ago. I made my yearly retreat because there could be no end to the work, but it's so important, and this is what we see Jesus doing with his disciples. It's so important that we take time outside of that activity. This is something that Pope Benedict talked about a lot. He would talk to priests and he would say, don't be an activist priest. And what did he mean by that? He said, he would say, it's so important that you don't fall into the tendency towards workaholism, and any of us can fall into that, not just priests, to be the tendency to be a workaholic, because what's the problem with that? It's thinking that my life is valuable insofar as I am productive, or my life is meaningful as long as I'm doing something, I'm producing something. And that is not true, because where does our value come in? It comes from our being beloved sons and daughters of God. That's where our worth comes, not from my work. My work is a meaningful part of my life. But God doesn't want me to think that as long as I'm productive, I have worth and value. But he wants me to know that the most important thing in my life is my relationship with him and my relationship with others. You, my parishioners, my brother priests, my own family, those relationships I have to give time to. Cardinal George, the late Cardinal George of Chicago, when he was dying of cancer, said something that I always think of. He said, the only thing we bring into heaven with us are our relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, because please God, will be with one another in heaven someday. So that's the only thing we take, not our work, not our business, not our bank account, not the stuff that we've accumulated through years of hard work. All of these things are good things. But if they're the most important thing in my life, then I'm doing something wrong. Because the only things we can take to heaven are our relationships with God and with one another. So Jesus is really inviting us to self-reflection. And this time that he wants each day from us, he doesn't impose it on us like another burden, like, oh gosh, my 15 minutes with the Lord, just another thing on my to-do list. It's not how it's supposed to be. He actually wants that time we give him each day to be time that gives us life, that renews us, that makes us remember that we're his beloved children, no matter how good or bad our life is going. And that's the most important thing, not our work, but our relationship with him and with others. So brothers and sisters, let's ask the Lord for the grace to have a life of prayer. And if we don't know where we can find the time to pray, let's ask Jesus at this Mass to show us when to pray. We could say, Jesus, give me the time to pray. If we don't really have the desire to pray, we could say, Jesus, give me the desire to take time to pray. Or if we don't feel like we know how, we can say, Jesus, teach me. Teach me to pray. So as we approach this Mass today in the Holy Eucharist, we approach the one who tells us he's our good shepherd, leading us to good pastures. He wants to refresh our soul. He wants to give us rest. He wants to assure us of his love, his care, his peace. So let's allow him today to be our good shepherd and give us everything we need for the care of our soul.